If you got your Bibles this morning, if you'll turn to the book of Psalms. We're going to look at one verse. Psalm 9, verse 17. Psalm 9, verse 17. And the scripture says, "The wicked shall be turned into hell, and all the nations that forget God." You know, I'm a firm believer that God doesn't do anything by accident. And Sherry, as the choir was singing that song, I was just kind of sitting there and I was just thinking, that song, even the tone of it and the words, it just eludes peace. What a contrast to hell. What a contrast to hell. You know, hell is going to be a terrible place. It wasn't created for us. It was created for the devil and his angels. But there are going to be many that unfortunately one day are going to lift their eyes in this place called hell where they will spend eternity. The word that's often translated for hell in the New Testament is a word called Gehenna. That was a place where literally garbage was dumped in the New Testament times. Not only was garbage dumped there, but just about everything else, including the corpses of criminals that had been killed. Vermin, worms, and everything else they just bred and fed in that filth, while smoke was constantly filling that place due to the burning that was continual there. We know a little bit about what hell will be like from Scripture. And I would dare say it will be worse than what even our minds can imagine. But it will be like a continually burning garbage dump. But it will also be a place of complete darkness, a place of unquenchable fire, a prison for those that are there. We also know that it will be a place where it is too late to accept Christ. We are also told what people will be there. The scripture says, "Then shall he say unto them on the left hand, Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels." Can you imagine hearing that? Think about it for a minute. Can you imagine Jesus pointing at me and saying, "Roger, depart into everlasting fire, you cursed man, prepared, can't go into the fire that was prepared for the devil and his angels, not you." But that's where you're going. Those who are lost, whose names are not found in the Lamb's Book of Life, will be sentenced forever for their punishment in hell. These will be people that have heard the gospel and have rejected it. But by the time they realize who they have rejected, and they will realize that, it will be too late. That's why it's so important, church, and those of you that are listening, it's so important for us to make sure we're ready when our time comes. Today, as we deal with the topic of hell, I want to talk about some things that are not there. We spend a lot of time talking about what is there in hell. Let's talk a little bit about what is not in hell. By doing so, I hope we'll get a vivid idea of his characteristics, and I can assure you, if you're normal, you won't like what you see. It's my hope that if anyone is here today, anyone is listening, and you are without Christ, that you will determine today to give your heart to Jesus before it is eternally too late. And for those of us that are saved, listening remotely, I hope that as a result of this message, that you will be determined to keep as many people as possible out of hell. I want to make it very clear today that I personally, as a preacher of the gospel, I do not view what the Bible has to say about hell as simply a metaphor or an allegory. I believe 100% that the Bible speaks of hell. I believe it is a literal place filled with literal people enduring literal, unbelievable pain. I believe our worst nightmare would not come close to the horrors of hell. Maybe you're sitting there this morning or listening and you're thinking, you know, well, help me understand, preacher, why in the world would a loving God, as the Bible portrays him, why would a loving God make such an awful place to begin with? I believe God wanted to make hell so horrible, so hot, that all who seriously considered it would be repulsed by it. Hell was not created with man in mind. It wasn't created with us in mind. Can you get a grasp of that? God didn't create it for us. He created it for Satan and his angels, according to Matthew 25:41. But the Bible does teach that all who reject Christ will find their way there. Today I want us to look at some things that hell will never have. Let's see what God's word has to say about it. In hell, there will be no light. Matthew 8:12, but the children of the kingdom shall be cast into outer darkness. Matthew 22:13, then said the king to his servants, bind him hand and foot and take him away and cast him into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Can you imagine never seeing light again? Think about it. Can you imagine never seeing light again? When lost souls have suffered the darkness of hell for 1,000 years, they will still be tormented by memories of a warm glow of sunlight that once shone on their face. It's a beautiful day today, isn't it? It was beautiful when I got out of my truck and I walked into church this morning. It wasn't hot. It wasn't cold. It was just perfect. And you know, you look up at that sunlight and it feels so good just on your face. No more. No more of that. No more of that. People in hell will never see the light of day again. And think about it. When they were living, they loved darkness more than light. That's what the scripture says. John 3:19 says, and this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world and men loved darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. So you know what happened? God ultimately gives them what they wanted. What more fitting punishment could there be for those who love darkness rather than light? There'll be some other reasons why there will be no light in hell. The light of the world will not be there. John 8:12 says, Jesus said, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. Jesus is the light of life, and he plainly states that if you follow me, you will have that. Well, if that's true, and it is, the opposite must also be true for those that do not follow him. Eternal darkness. Jesus is not going to be there in hell. Those who rejected him will not find him there. No matter how badly they want to, all they'll find is utter darkness. The light of the gospel won't be there because every heart has already been darkened. 2 Corinthians 4:4 says, in whom the God, little g, of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. The gospel by which we are saved, it's not merely historical history and chronicles, but it's also an announcement that makes the claim that Jesus Christ is the Messiah, the true Lord of lords and King of kings. And it calls on us to accept that and become His disciple. Those of you here, those of you tuning in, you've heard that over and over and over again. That will no longer be heard in hell. I don't believe there will be any Bibles in hell. But I promise you that everyone there will remember the points of the gospel they heard and rejected. Also in hell, there's not going to be any liquid. Jesus, and I'll be honest with you, I can't tell you if it's a parable, if it's a real life example, but I almost think it's a real life example. When the parable of Lazarus and the rich man, I think that's a real life occurrence. That's me personally. But when the rich man died and went to hell, he cried, Father Abraham, have mercy on me and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. To the dismay and torment of the doomed, the only cool liquid that those in hell are ever going to have is what remains in their memory. I can only imagine the torment of a dry and parched throat and a swollen tongue, just begging for one more drink of water. And it can't be satisfied. You know, I got a little bottle of water back here. I can take a drink anytime I want to. That's good. Wish you could have some. Let me tell you how much we take water for granted. When we had Bible school this year, it was food truck party, so everything had to do with food. And so I had a lesson to do with the kids, so I thought I'd have some fun with them. Now, I love a cold Mountain Dew. I just do. I know it's not good for me, but I love it. So every once in a while, I'll have one. I looked at the kids one night in Bible school, and I held up a cold bottle of water and a cold Mountain Dew. I said, you can have either one you want. Which one do you want? They said, the water. I thought, who's been raising these young? Man, you take water over a Mountain Dew. But you know what? That's our young people, right? You and I that are older, we remember getting that Pepsi-Cola and that RC and that Mountain Dew in the tobacco field when it was hot, right? Nobody ever bought me a bottle of water. I wanted something else. All the kids wanted was water. Let me tell you something. People in hell, they're not going to be clamoring for a soft drink or tea or juice or a beer or another shot of liquor. They're going to be clamoring for a drop of water. One drop of water. And it will never come. You can have water anytime you want it today. We take it for granted. You know how you feel when you are thirsty for a short period of time? Imagine that for all eternity. That's part of the torment people in hell will experience. Even a drop of water off of a fingertip will be unavailable. Hell is going to be a hot and barren place where water will be desired, but it will never come. How sad for those who have rejected Christ. In hell, there's not going to be any light, there's not going to be any liquid, but there's also not going to be any laughter. There's not going to be any laughter. Listen to these statements about hell about the rich man, and in hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torment. He also said, I am tormented in these flames. In Matthew 13, and shall cast him into a furnace of fire, and there shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. And Revelation 14, and the smoke of their torment ascended up forever and ever, and they have no rest day or night. No laughter. How many times? Raise your hand. I want to see this. If you've laughed one time since you've been in this church this morning, raise your hand. Yeah, I have too. Miss Linda and I were laughing. Mr. John came in and told me a joke and I was laughing. I told him a joke and I heard his laugh. I loved it. I loved it. Now, all those verses contrast this with Proverbs 17 where it says, a merry heart doeth good like a medicine. There's a true story about a man named Norman Cousins. He was hospitalized with a rare and a crippling disease that he was diagnosed as incurable. So you know what he did? He checked himself out of the office and he started reading. And he started reading in Proverbs where it said, a merry heart doeth good like medicine. So you know what he started doing? He prescribed his own treatment. He borrowed some movies and an old movie projector, and he started watching reruns of the Marx Brothers films and Candid Camera. He said it didn't take him long to discover that 10 minutes of laughter gave him 2 hours of pain-free sleep at night. He kept up with that, and listen to this, he was cured of his disease. It was actually published in the New England Journal of Medicine, and he received more than 3,000 letters from physicians throughout the world. Inhale that smile of pleasure and enjoyment is never going to be seen. The laughter of little children, the chuckles of adults will never be heard in hell. All of that laughter is going to be replaced by people literally screaming in anguish. I want you to listen to something. I want you to listen to something. Can you imagine never hearing laughter again? I think you'll be able to hear this. Listen to this. Wait a minute. I want you to hear that again. You know why I keep that on my phone? Not only is that my middle grandchild, Colson. He and I were on the beach down in South Carolina at Myrtle Beach and throwing a ball, and a dog was going to get it, and Colson was just losing his breath laughing at them. I saw y'all laughing too. That's why I keep it. That's why I listen to it. Because you know what? Hell would be never hearing that again. The laughter we hear today will not be present in hell. No one will be laughing there. There'll also be no liberty in hell. No liberty. Those receiving Christ are free forever. Matter of fact, John says, if the Son therefore shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. When we have Christ, there is liberty in Christ that is found in no other. Paul writes, Now the Lord that is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Notice the verse says, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty. In hell, the Spirit of the Lord will not be there. And neither will there be any liberty. Those rejecting Christ are imprisoned forever with no escape. Paul's letter to the church at Thessalonica says, in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of His power. The pain will be forever. The darkness will be forever. The thirst will be forever. The agony and the torment will be forever. Folks, there will be no exit signs in heaven. I mean in hell. There will be no escape. Once a person arrives in hell, is forever. There's no time limit, no parole, no leave. The torment will be forever without end. And finally, there's not going to be any forgiveness in heaven, in hell. Get behind me, Satan. There's not going to be any forgiveness in hell. Do you realize that as Christians, when we make it home, we're home for good and we can never perish? We can never perish. Jesus says, he that believeth on me hath eternal, everlasting life. And I will give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. But it's not going to be that way in hell. Everyone there is going to be lost. That phrase, misery loves company, we're going to finally understand what it means. All there will be lost. All there will live forever with the regret of hearing the gospel and never, never accepting it. All that are there are going to remember being convicted to give their hearts to Him and ultimately rejecting the sacrifice that Jesus made on the cross. Folks, there is not going to be any forgiveness in hell. The time for that will be over. Only punishment for the decision those there made that put themselves there. Christians will finally be in their eternal home, just as promised by Jesus. Forever saved, forever safe, forever in that perfect place that Jesus has promised to all who believe. But the sinner cannot avoid punishment. In Luke we find Jesus said, I tell you, nay, except you repent, ye shall all likewise perish. Jesus said, he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. In Revelation we find, and whosoever was not found in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. There will be no way to avoid the punishment deserved in hell. Do you realize this? And this is one of those aha moments, but it dawned on me when I was studying this. Before I gave my heart to Christ, before I rededicated my heart to Christ, I was living in my sin and my punishment was being delayed. It was just being delayed. Do you realize when we close our eyes in death or when Jesus comes to claim His church, that time for a delay of punishment is over? Over. That's why we need to be ready now. Look at these quotes which I found to be so true. We are punished by our sins, not for them. One leak will sink a ship, and one sin will destroy a sinner. Sin looks much more terrible to those who look at it rather than those who do it. And finally, from one of my favorites, C.S. Lewis, every uncorrected error and unrepentant sin is, in its own right, a fountain of fresh error and fresh sin flowing on to the end of time. Listen, you and I can delay our punishment if we live in sin for a while. But when Jesus calls us home or says it's enough, it's over. We need to make that decision today. all who will be in hell will be lost forever. The saved will not be there. Folks, the truth about what will not be in hell is almost as terrifying as what will be there. Amen? It's a terrible place. No light, no liquid, no laughter, no liberty, no one who isn't lost. And every one of those things is terrible in its own right, but put together with what we know about hell already, it's going to be an awful place for people that have rejected Christ to spend eternity. And we can't change any of those things. But please listen to me right now. Whether you're here, whether you're listening in, listen to me right now. Because I want to tell you something. There's a lot of things about hell we can't change. But there is one thing hell doesn't have yet. And you can make sure it never does. Don't let hell have you. Don't let hell have you. Hell doesn't have you yet. Whether you're here, whether you're listening in, hell hasn't got you yet. The devil may be on your back. If you got breath in your body, hell hasn't got you yet. You may be here or listening in and you know in your heart that if you died today, hell would be your eternal home, but it doesn't have to be that way. Repent today and ask Christ in your heart and begin a new life with Him. Confess your sins to Him and accept the price that Jesus paid for your punishment and my punishment on Calvary's cross. Believe that God raised Him from the dead, and my Bible tells me that you will be saved. Hell will not have you. And for all the terrible things that hell does not have, that makes it so frightening. The fact that hell will not have you is a glorious thing. If you accept Him today. One of my dear friends, he's gone on to be with the Lord now, Reverend Buddy Sasser. Many of y'all may know Buddy. Buddy was preaching a revival one night at Powhatan, and he said something, and I actually wrote a song. Our family has done several times. And Buddy made this statement. He said, I'm going to heaven. He said, I've already made my reservations. I'm on my way to heaven. He said, I want to see all of you there. He said, if you choose to reject Christ, you're not going to keep me from going. But he said, it just won't be the same without you there. I hope y'all know this, but I'm kind of attached to y'all already. And not just our home folks, and not just our visitors. I'm attached to you. I love you. I kind of like spending time with you. I want you to go to heaven with me. I really do. I don't want you left behind. You see, there's not going to be any sorrow in heaven, so I'm not going to remember you're left behind. But you're going to remember you're not with me. Make a decision to accept Him today. Hell was not created for you. You don't have to go. You'll make that choice on where you're going to spend eternity today. Make a decision to accept Christ before it's too late. Whether you're here, whether you're listening in, don't let hell have you. Would you bow with me in prayer? Father, what a wonderful time it has been, Lord, being in your house this morning. Father, you know my heart, and this is not a subject I like to speak on. But I believe you had a purpose for it this morning. someone here, someone tuning in, Father, needed this morning. Maybe we all needed to be reminded, Father, what heaven, what hell is not going to have. And I know Satan, Father, this morning has not wanted this message to be preached. There's no doubt in my mind about that, so I know it's right. Father, I pray in this time of decision, Father, when the devil is whispering in ears, you got more time. Don't do that. Don't do it today. What he said isn't true. It's not that bad. Father, I pray you put a hedge around everyone listening, everyone attending in this morning. And Father, you get glory, and don't let the devil get a victory. Father, this time is yours, and we look forward to what you're going to do. And we ask it all in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.